Cut the music off. Cut the music off. Cut it off. I got something to say. Last week, I took over this podcast, the Comedians of Wrestling podcast, and I elevated it to heights previously inconceivable. I have diplomats listening to the show. I have heads of state listening to the show. And what did the Facebook group do? Do you think they could do me the common courtesy of stepping up to the plate and taking me on? No. They reacted with shitty memes, shitty opinions, and it got me thinking, why is that? Why can't they go from the bottom level to the next level? And it's because they lack the X factor. The X factor being comedy. This is Comedians of Wrestling, and you, sirs and madams, are no comedians. Case in point, Terrible Tulo thought it was a good idea to make fun of my shirt last week. The shirt was the Women's Wrestling Champion of the World, worn by the original Comedian of Wrestling, Andy Kaufman. I wouldn't expect you to know that, Tulo, because you hang out in the camp of adjacent Arlen, ancillary Arlen, not a comedian, doesn't have what it takes. You disgust me. You're listening to the Comedians of Podcast, or the Comedians of Wrestling Podcast, Newman World Order Edition. I am joined today by two hard-ass badasses. To my left, from the rival faction, the nation of Mark Nation, Joey Clift.
Yo, yo, Joey Clift. I think wrestling is real.
That's right. And to his left, Phil, the elite, Del Costello.
Yo, yo, everything in real life is a work.
You're goddamn right it is. And I, of course, am your host, Nasty Newman, bringing it to you one more time. Look, we got some housekeeping to take care of. Remember to rate and subscribe. Cash in phone number is 316-530-2429. 316-530-2429. How you guys doing?
Doing good. Doing real good. I think Roman Reigns is the best wrestler of all time. The Punjabi Prison match was right up there with Okada versus Omega. Which
six
was
stars.
Fake, by the way.
Right. Six-star match.
Yeah, six-star match.
Phil? How are you?
Fine.
Good.
Whole lot of weird content this time around.
Yes.
I think I got a lot of hot takes lined up. So
good.
I think maybe we should just let them sizzle a little bit. And then when
good.
I'm ready to strike, I'll do it.
Good. I'm ready for hot takes. Because, you know, Facebook group, cold takes, ice cold takes on everything. Let's just jump right in. Battleground.
Yeah.
What did you guys think overall?
I mean, I think it was a real solid event. I can't believe they gave that jobber Nakamura a win. The King of Strong Style, more like the King of Fake Style. I mean, like, what? You know, he thinks he's Freddie Mercury. He thinks he's Michael Jackson. That's not what I like out of a wrestler. You know what I like out of a wrestler?
What's that?
Black tights and tattoos. Like my boy Randy Orton.
You're goddamn right.
Yeah.
I thought it was...
That's he's a snake.
Phil?
That's... my pulse started to go up a little bit when you started with Roman Reigns.
Yeah, man. My pulse keeps going whenever I'm thinking about the lone wolf, Baron Corbin. Best wrestler in WWE right now.
I think overall, my impression of Battleground was that they were in Philadelphia, and if you can put Philadelphia to sleep, it's a boring show.
Yeah.
Because notoriously, that crowd is very vocal.
They're looking for it.
Yeah.
You know, I think that crowd was quiet because they were quietly respecting the modern Maharaja, the Jinder Mahal. I think that, you know, like, it's like when you... we're all comedians in here. If you listen to like a musical parody on stage, or like you watch somebody sing a song, you're not necessarily laughing at every joke because you're admiring the splendor that is the performance.
And I
feel like that's the position that the audience was in this event. That, I mean, dare I say, was the best wrestling event of the year.
Okay, yeah. So do you the Philadelphia crowd was sort of like the crowd at like an opera?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're
respectful.
Look, if you're watching the great Khali perform, you're not going to be like, you're not going to be like wasting your time with chants. You're just going to be looking on and like admiring like the, you know, the king of India himself.
Yeah, like good luck chanting when your jaw is on the floor.
Yeah. Can't chant when your jaw's on the floor. Yeah.
You can respect, though.
Yeah.
And you can take it all in.
Yeah, I mean, these PWG fans are just, they're just like so bored by these vanilla midgets doing moves just wherever that all of a sudden they're like, oh, we got a chant to just fill our little time. Like, they don't care about Chuck Taylor winning the title. They just want to get themselves over. Unlike these true believers in Philadelphia who are like, oh man, it's Randy Orton versus Jinder Mahal and the Singh brothers in the Punjabi prison match. This is a once in a lifetime thing for me to watch right now. I mean, this is like, you know, I'm like right up there with 9/11 and when JFK was assassinated. All these people in that audience are going to be telling their children, "This is where I was when the great Khali cost my boy Randy Orton his SmackDown title."
The room is on fire right now, and oh, we have a Battleground cash in. I guess we gotta listen to it.
Zig held up a sign. I thought it said number one. I thought it would say "Don't say midgets." And number two. And number two. He had a tally of 9/11 references that take place in this room.
What up, Cows of Wrestling? This is longtime listener, first time caller, Matt Launderson. I just wanted to cash in my thoughts. I watched the Battleground pay-per-view, and I thought it was real good. It's a good pay-per-view. I like the double person
there.
It was cool to see a great colleague come back. He's really good, and I think it showed how good SmackDown's roster is, because they had all the good people on it, and there's a couple of jobbers, but they weren't on it, like mainly, you know, Dolphin Ziggler. I'm glad he wasn't on it, because he sucks as a wrestler. I know Danny Black, he's got a hard on for him, but he's not good, and he should be gone the same way that Dan's gone. But overall, I thought it was good. I'm not trying to be a negative Willie. It was pretty good. That's it. I like that Dan's gone, and I think that you guys should start having some comedians on the show. There's comedian in the name, right? I don't know. I think, you should get Jim Gaffigan. Jim Gaffigan should come be on the show. That's my cash-in. Bye.
Wait, what was that guy's name?
I think he said Matt.
Matt, if you're listening to this right now, and I think you are, you're officially a member of the Nation of Markination.
Wow.
Welcome aboard, brother.
Let's get Jim Gaffigan on the show, huh?
Hot Pockets.
Man, oh man.
Isn't that his joke? I did like that he said that he likes that Dan is gone. Because I think that's true across the board.
I mean, how many times, you know, every week I got to hear about, you know, these opinions about, he's always got to be a body guy, you know, can't wrestle with your shirt on, even though I can think that's weird from time, like, speaking of Battleground, one of the Usos wrestling in a hooded sweatshirt.
Right, which, by the way, Terrible Tulo said was dope.
What?
This is what we're dealing with here.
That is the worst. The worst. Wrestling in a hooded sweatshirt?
Yeah.
Hey, I mean, if you think about his match strategy, like, that hooded sweatshirt's going to give him, like, you know, like probably like a tenth of an inch of padding that's going to protect him from, like, those, you know, those weak noodle-like kicks from Nakamura. Not that they're feuding, but if they did.
Right.
Sure.
So you got to work on a Nakamura scale for like
I'm sorry. It's choice. When you think about bad wrestlers, he's just, who else can you think about?
I mean, no one else.
Yeah.
Nakamura.
Well, let's just jump right to the Punjabi prison match and we'll work backwards from there.
Yeah.
Because I'm just going to say this right now. I don't like that the great Khali is back.
I hate it.
He sucks.
It's the worst.
He can't walk.
It's the worst.
He can't talk. Isn't he, like, renowned as, like no bullshit, like, he's, like, renowned as, like, the worst worker in WWE history, right? Locker room, everybody, like, nobody likes him.
I mean, you know, he's not Nakamura. I think there are worse. There's Giant Gonzalez, I think, is popularly thought of as the, like, just the lowest of the low.
I'm conflating the two.
Yeah, the great Khali, I mean, I haven't really, he was a world champion, so you assume that he's probably a pretty good fighter. Also, right. he's like, you know, he's 7 feet tall, so like, you know, like, what's Rich Swann gonna do against that?
Holy shit! Wait a minute.
He'll dance.
I just realized that the worst thing that I've ever seen on a pro wrestling show, those guys are now reunited. I brought this up a couple episodes last time I was on this. The fucking snake charming thing with the flutes.
Oh, yeah.
And Jinder Mahal and the great Khali charmed.
Hornswoggle.
No, the little fellow with the sock.
The
Italian guy?
Santino, yeah.
Yeah.
The hilarious Santino.
Man, now they're on the same side.
Right.
I mean, I was back in Jinder. Now this is getting a little shaky here.
Right. I mean, I just want to tell you that, like, this is my mega powers. This is my this is my Hogan and Macho Man Randy Savage joining up right now.
I mean, I just...
Like, just, you know, like...
Well, I'll say
The great Khali, let's lay it out. The great Khali, my personal Hulk Hogan. Jinder Mahal, my personal Macho Man Randy Savage.
Gee whiz.
The Singh brothers, my personal Miss Elizabeth. Both of them together equal Miss Elizabeth.
I mean, speaking of the Singh brothers, that was a fuck of a bump that he took.
Yeah,
it was.
Is that the same guy that keeps getting fucked up by Randy?
I think it is, yeah.
They both get pretty fucked up, but I think he's gotten some of the worst of it, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The X-Pac on Twitter made a point that the cage or the Punjabi prison didn't make any noise. And that might have added to the stakes, like the pain stakes in the match.
Sure. Obviously, the visibility problem was my first kind of mark against it.
Right.
Yeah.
It was so very bad about that. Soon as they got it going, I was like, oh, okay. Because the whole thing with four doors and the minute thing, but it was such a convoluted concept. It was awkward when the guy was like explaining it.
I mean, though I will say, like, yes, inside, it was tough to see what was happening inside the ring because there are all these bamboo cages. But the only thing that really matters is seeing who's coming over the top, baby.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was Jinder Mahal, fair and square.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah. It doesn't count because they're both from the same country.
Yeah.
They're from there.
Jinder Mahal's not Canadian.
Right.
Well, Jinder Mahal, he is Canadian. He considers India his home.
Was he born in India?
I don't think so. I think he was born in Vancouver.
So he's...
Or Toronto or something.
Yeah.
So he's from India.
And also, though, we have to still... we still have to keep alive the lifelong... I mean, the timeless rivalry between India and the United States. I hate India.
Yeah.
I've always hated India. And I'm happy that this is happening, even though I was rooting for Jinder Mahal.
All right, moving on that note.
I just hate it. I hate it. Nobody hates India. Nobody hates India.
I think there's plenty of people that hate India.
I think the British hate India.
Yeah. Ooh. It should go the other way. A little bit stronger. But yeah, they hate them for reasons we don't need to discuss.
Right, right. Colonialism.
We shouldn't talk about it.
All right, all right, all right, all right.
I would love it if Jack Gallagher had just a blood feud with Jinder Mahal. I mean, not that he'd be able to do anything because the modern day Maharajas—he's the king of our time, you know.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
But really you would like him to go into like the locker room and like find Jinder's locker and like just start putting British things in it to like change the makeup.
I feel like it's about time that they took Britain back. You know,
sure,
yeah,
right,
right. Obviously,
yeah.
All right. Moving on. New Day. New Day versus the Usos for
best
the champion.
Match of the night.
Best match of the night.
Genuinely, I mean, next to the Punjabi prison match, this is the match of the night.
I mean, the lead up to this match? How long have the Usos have had the belt for a while now, right?
Yeah.
I feel like they got it from, who did they win it from? It was American Alpha, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So they've had it for a couple months. They had a good run, and like they've really been killing it on promos and stuff like that. So like they definitely deserved having that good, long, extended run, especially with their new street tough personas.
Right.
The New Day, they're very talented fighters. So I think that they outfought the New Day or the Usos, and they deserve this.
Yeah.
Right.
That elbow spot was great.
Oh, yeah, man.
With the low kick.
That was that.
Very
good.
The elbow spot was great. The drop kick with the super kick was really good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
They really, that was one of the better tag matches in this year,
good.
I would say.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like all of those, you know, jobbers in NJPW could really stand to watch a match like this. just to see how it's really done.
Yeah,
you know?
Just inject some realism into
it. Yeah, inject some realism into it, you know.
Did you know, I noticed this too while I was watching, the Usos font, like on the back of their hooded sweatshirts, is the RKO font. It's the exact same font that Randy Orton uses.
I mean, I love me some Randy Orton, so that's just making me like the Usos that much more.
Yeah. what was that?
We got a...
That was the nation. That was the nation of Smarkination trying to break their way into the studio.
Right now we're experiencing
or a legitimate earthquake. I don't know.
Probably something getting dragged.
Maybe
the great
Kali is just walking through a couple rooms over.
Okay, it's like half. But to tie those together,
yeah, please do.
I think this is fun. So, what happens going back to the main event?
Mm-hmm.
What happens now with Jinder Mahal and? A friend of mine, friend of the pod, Jim Lester, he suggested have Kofi take the belt off of Jinder Mahal.
Mm.
I mean, that would be amazing.
At SummerSlam.
I mean, personally, it would be a fate worse than death for me to watch Jinder Mahal lose.
Of course, right. Yeah.
But yes, Kofi Kingston is...
That would be very, very good.
Yeah,
and so unexpected.
Yeah.
Which I don't feel like they do... I was talking to a friend of mine. Also, I have friends. We all have friends here that we talk to outside of this podcast. Yeah. I was talking to one of mine. But
still about just wrestling.
Just wrestling.
Yeah.
And I feel like they used to do like bigger, more surprising things like back in like the early 2000s, like late 90s.
Mm.
And I would like there was lots of factions, lots of turning on people, lots of belts going to surprising people.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's like the new writers or the new...
Wait, writers?
However they're... I don't know if it's the new management.
Yeah. There we go. Yeah. So like, why would they need writers? These are real fights.
My bad, I misspoke. So I don't know if it's the new management at WWE. Yeah. But yeah, I just feel like, am I wrong there? Like, does anybody else remember that? Like, it seems like there was bigger stuff happening.
A little bit. I don't think that they shy from surprises now, but I think their surprises are maybe a little more safe.
Mm-hmm.
The Jinder thing was a surprise. But, I mean, hey, Jinder's got 3 clean wins over Randy Orton here.
That's true.
For the belt. Those are 3 clean title defenses.
Yeah.
So why not the guy who Orton kind of buried, Kofi Kingston, wins the SummerSlam. There it is.
I love it.
Well, I think in the Attitude Era, it was... they were competing directly with WCW as well as ECW. So, like, I hear often in interviews, people talk about, like, they basically had to do, like, 10 years worth of, like, kind of worth of matchups and worth of interesting happenings and worth of, you know, angles in, in a year-long period just to kind of keep up with each other.
Oh, right.
So, like, you know, it's why they often refer to it as, like, car crash programming, is it's just, like, a crazy thing happened every week.
Oh,
like, if you think about it, like, the time from when Mick Foley won the title to when he lost the title to The Rock in the I Quit match, like, there was also, I mean, like, plus, like, the empty arena matches and stuff like that. Like, that whole storyline was, like, 3 months.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And, like,
right.
If you think about that, that's, like, some of the most, I guess, memorable, like, times in wrestling that I can think of. It's, like, I can remember almost every week of programming just a major thing happening.
Yeah, it's funny because if you go back, I had a period where I would turn on the network and watch old Raws, like, in succession.
Yeah.
But I was, like, while I was cleaning up my house or doing dishes, like, something like that where I was, like, preoccupied with something
else. You're a homeowner. You got to take care of the homestead.
I own a home.
Right.
There were things where, like, things that at the time they felt like they were taking, like, a year, like, only took a month. And I think there's something like DX was only, like, a thing for, like, 2.5-3 years, maybe? I could be wrong on that, but it was surprisingly short.
Yeah.
Like, when you look back on it, you just think it's always.
Right.
And it's not.
Well, there's other things like do you guys remember the faction, The Union? It was the Big Show, Test, Mick Foley, and a fourth person whose name escapes me.
Yeah.
This is, they were called, like, Up Yours, Union People You Ought to Respect,
oh,
Son.
Oh, yeah.
That's an often, like, whenever I see just, like, lists of, like, the best factions of all time or, like, factions from the Attitude Era, they're always on the list. They were only around for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, no,
like,
shit.
Literally 2 shows they were only around for.
Yeah.
And part of that's just because, like, the WWE is not unionized, and, like, they realize, oh, we should probably not have a faction that's right. called the Union yeah. when Shouldn't none of our wrestlers have health insurance.
Right. Yeah. yeah. And I think that, because NJPW is, like, all factions, right? It's like...
Yeah, garbage factions, if you tell me.
Right. I mean, but factions nonetheless. Yeah. I would like to see more of that in WWE, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's, like, something that I think that WWE and the Attitude Era benefited from, that I feel like they're getting into a little bit more now, but, like, not as much as they should be, is, like, yeah. storylines kind of interweaving with each other.
Right,
yeah.
I mean, not a story, like, real combat sports between fighters. Sure,
sure. Circumstances.
Yeah, circumstances.
Traveling.
Like, yeah, like, kind of interweaving with each other, like, feuds kind of bleeding into each
yeah,
other.
Yeah, I'd like that, and I'd like him to mix it up where, like, for example, like, the Titus brand has Apollo Crews, but then he has a cruiserweight in there too.
Yeah.
Like that, where they kind of double dip, or like Sanity, how they have what's her name? Like there's a woman yeah. in that faction, you right. know what I mean? Like you kind of like branch out into everything to get your claws into yeah. it.
That was the benefit of DX, is like DX as an entity could be in three or four feuds, yeah. you know, when it was the Road Dogg, Billy Gunn, China, Triple H, X-Pac. Like they could be in three or four feuds.
Yeah.
And like, you know, the New Age Outlaws could interfere in Triple H's match, and then Triple H could interfere in Xbox match.
Yeah.
And they could do, like, you know, six-man tags where it's, like, the New Age Outlaws and X-Pac versus the two guys that yeah. the New Age Outlaws are feuding with plus the one guy X-Pac's feuding with.
Yeah.
And it ends with a run-in from China or something. It's, like,
right.
I feel like that's something that it just makes wrestling exciting, and it, like, blurs the lines instead
yeah.
of just being,
yeah.
like,
yeah.
this like, circumstance exists next to this circumstance exists next to this circumstance, and nothing really feels connected. And that's something that I love about, I mean, like, speaking to Monday Night Raw, like the triple or the Samoa Joe, Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman, Brock Lesnar thing.
Yeah,
like they literally just merge two storylines, and
yes.
it's great and it's really good.
Oh yeah, no, I love that.
Yeah,
cool. Yeah, so let's move on to, so it's okay, so the next match on Battleground was a shitty Shinsuke Nakamura. Apparently.
Oh, that fucking loser.
And Baron Corbin.
Oh, yeah, the wolf himself.
Boring Corbin. How did we get here? What was the, I mean, I can't even recall the buildup. I guess he attacked him in a backstage interview. Baron Corbin attacks Shinsuke Nakamura at a backstage interview.
I think he had a problem with him to begin with, and then that kind of cooled off. And then I think the ultimate kind of thing that sealed the deal was the Money in the Bank match where
right.
when he was coming out.
Yeah.
To your favorite intro, I presume.
Oh, of course.
Nakamura's?
Oh, no, I thought you were talking about Baron Corbin.
No, not Baron Corbin.
Yeah. Arr!
Yeah.
Yeah. Nakamura. It. Oh, it's waste of time, Nakamura's yeah. entrance is. Mm-hmm.
How do we, you know what? I almost, yeah. I don't even really disagree with that, but.
I'm not a fan of long ones.
No, I mean, well, I think Nakamura's gimmick right now is a wrestler that is over.
Right.
He comes out and people cheer as though he's over. But he doesn't really have anything else going on. I think...
Like,
yeah.
You know, there is one thing that I really like about Nakamura that they added when he joined the main roster, and that's calling him the artist, you know? I think that that's something right. that I personally, as a fan, you know, there's not a lot for me to connect to in Nakamura, but him being the artist, like, I know who Picasso is.
Sure.
Like, Picasso's great. If you're comparing Nakamura to Picasso, sure, that's, you know, like... I'm not going to love him, but, like, you know, like, at
Rodin.
Least I'll hate him less.
Rodin.
Yeah.
Van Gogh.
Yeah, Van Gogh. Van Gogh.
Matisse.
Yeah, Matisse. Like, you know, Beethoven, if you go to, like, music as an art
form. Art.
Yeah, it's all art, you know, like.
Let's
you
incorporate
know,
all
like,
of that.
Like, I don't, yeah. like, I don't think that Nakamura is talented enough in the ring to be considered an artist. I mean... It's not like he's Curtis Axel.
Oh, I mean, who is?
But like...
Kurt you know, Perfect, right?
Yeah,
right
Kurt... Film? I mean, that's why they call
Kurt
him...
Kurt Perfect.
No, not Perfect, better than Perfect. That's why they call him better than Perfect, because in the ring, you know?
Yeah.
You know, which, by the way, the reason that he's not on TV is because Brock Lesnar's scared.
Right.
Brock Lesnar sent a little email to Triple H saying, like, hey, I'm not going to be there if Curtis Axel's going to be there.
I did read that on the
text. Yeah, we all read that.
Yeah. What did we think about this match, though, this Baron Corbin, Shinsuke Nakamura?
I mean, it wasn't that great a match, and I really think yeah. that Nakamura just dragged Baron Corbin down. You know,
I think Stone Cold is right. I think that
what does Stone Cold say?
Say Stone Cold says that Nakamura needs to just be kicking people's faces off.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
so
but he's going 15 minutes with Baron friggin' Corbin.
So in a okay. in a theoretical world where I like Nakamura, here's what I would say.
Yeah, please.
So,
step outside your
box. I'm stepping. I'm like trying to get into the mind of all those fucking Mar.
Which is good on you.
Yeah, yeah. I'm stepping out of my box. I'm like, I'm not speaking as Joey, the leader of the Nation of Marka Nation, right now. I'm just speaking as just somebody who's not that. So, I think that the problem with Nakamura is that, like, he's a very, very good wrestler. He's really talented. It's just like, he needs to wrestle people who can kind of keep up with him. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Baron Corbin's not really one of those guys.
Right.
I think that, you know, like, I hate to say it. I mean, like, what's going to happen is he's going to wrestle AJ Styles at SummerSlam, and they're going to put on, like, a 5-star match, and everybody is going to, like, agree, oh, this is why Nakamura is great, and then he'll be super over, and then he'll have some good feuds with, like, the John Cena's of the world, go to Raw, have a great feud with Roman Reigns, you know, et cetera. It's just
right
now he kind of needs to get over the hump of, like, wrestling the Baron Corbins. And there could be a thing backstage where that's, like, sort of a test for him.
Sure.
Just to see, like, is he only going to bring it if he's wrestling, like, the best of the best?
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, I definitely feel like this match was, like, kind of a snooze just because, like, It's like not the style that showcases what Nakamura is about. Like, it would be like if they put The Undertaker in a 50-50 match against, like, I don't know, like Jimmy Wang Yang or something.
Right.
It's like, not, I mean, like, the way they book The Undertaker and the way they book Jimmy Yang, like, it's just, like, that's not, like, what The Undertaker's character is.
Yeah. But it's
okay,
one of those...
now I'm back to being me.
Well, I think it's one of those things where he's just such a unique talent where he just seems kind of out of place if he's not doing something that's, like, either for a belt or something just kicking people's faces.
Yeah, it's like, I'm not, like...
Wait,
I'm,
are you...
Oh, go ahead,
you,
sorry.
Or...
No, like, okay, so going back to... I'm back to the other thing. So, like, I feel like he's not... I am not excited about watching Nakamura... in a ladder match. If I saw him in a Punjabi prison match, I'd be like, why is Nakamura in a Punjabi prison match? I do not want to see him in a stairs match against the Big Show.
Yeah.
I just want to see him put on just like five-star professional wrestling matches against good wrestlers.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that, like, I feel like I'm not excited about seeing him in any gimmick match because that's just not
gilding the lily, as it were.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, you know, in comedy terms, it's a hat on a hat.
It's hat,
like,
on a hat.
Yeah.
Any of you listening would understand that term, hat on a hat.
No.
It's a comedy term that comedians use.
Okay. Now I'm back to being me.
All right. Moving on. The women's number one contender match. You know, I would like to go over the history of how we got here, but it's kind of convoluted. We had Natalia, Tamina, Lana, Charlotte, and Becky. This is not a hot take. Tamina brings nothing to the table. Nothing. Mm-hmm. Name one thing that she does well.
Everything.
Oh, I stand corrected.
Yeah. I think she's just kind of like a menacing presence.
Right.
I mean, and that's kind of about it.
She's bigger than all the other wrestlers, so that probably, you know, that probably gives her something.
Sure.
I mean, the WrestleMania match I'm looking for is her against Nia Jax. Am I right, everybody?
I mean,
that'll be the Battle of Titans.
Neither of them are like most girls.
I just don't. I'm not sure if, like, she's given anything, or if, you know what I mean?
Right.
Because it seems like she's just there to fill space.
Oh, so you're saying that maybe it's like the management
could not be giving
her. Snuka's something to work with.
Another thing that goes along with your Vince McMahon theory.
Hey, what's the Vince McMahon theory?
Legacies and...
Yeah. I think there's just certain legacies that if he didn't like your dad, you're just not going to be put in a position to be successful.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I feel like that's like... I mean, we all work in the entertainment industry. Like, I feel like that's just how the world works in a lot of levels. It's like if, you know, if we had kids and... like, our best friend's kid wanted a job for our company, we would probably hook him up, right? Or we would, like, give him a shot.
Sure, but, like, nepotism, yeah.
Yeah, nepotism. But if, like, our worst enemy or, like, somebody that really didn't like us, or in Vince McMahon's terms, it's, like, somebody that tried to put him out of business in the 80s.
Oh, right.
Like, if Ted Turner's kid wanted to be – I mean, maybe Ted Turner would give a shot, but it's, like, if Nails, that wrestler that legitimately punched him in the face in the early 90s during the steroid trial – or before the steroid trial – like if his kid wanted to be a wrestler, Vince would immediately blacklist him.
Right.
Like sure. That's just, you know, like it's just how things go.
Yeah, I mean, but how do we? I mean, this match was not bad.
Yeah, I liked it.
I liked it a lot.
As soon as it like it's when it started to speed up, that's right. When it was good. There's just too many people in the ring right away, and then as soon as like they started to really like gel it together,
like a small issue that I have with the SmackDown Women's Division, and I feel like Raw is running into this a little bit less, but I feel like in the women's division, every match is either for the title or for the number one contendership for the title. I wish that there were more, I guess, personal rivalries, like rivalries based on something other than wanting to be champion. I mean, that said, Naomi's doing a really good job as champion. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that I like that they gave her that shot on SmackDown that she probably wouldn't have gotten otherwise. Mm. And like, you know, I think that she's a solid wrestler, and like, she's definitely, I feel like she's like living up to her end of the bargain, and like her, you know, Feel the Glow character, I think is really solid.
Do you like the glow belt?
I mean, it's no John Cena spinner belt, but like what is?
Right. I will say this though, that Naomi reached like Josh Duhamel levels of boring on the announce table. It seemed like she, because I love her. I mean, I'm not, this isn't a dig on Naomi's like a character or as a fighter. I'm sorry. Or her work in the ring. It seemed like she didn't need to be there, but whatever. Her entrance is cool.
Yeah.
So I didn't mind seeing that.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree.
Ding, ding, ding. No, don't talk about it anymore.
But I think that's how it sums her up, though. Yeah, I don't know.
Right.
I mean, she's a great wrestler.
I think she's vastly improved.
Yeah.
Because I started watching maybe like 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Remember when she was like kind of starting out? And she
like Funkadactyl. Yeah.
Right. And it was just not great. And she's definitely improved in the ring. And I think she's earned like what she's doing right now. Sure.
Yes.
Yeah. But I do agree. I feel like she hasn't figured out kind of what her, once again, comedy terms, what her character game is, just in terms of promos. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that she's like, she's kind of got all the pieces. And that's like the one part where she's lacking a little bit. But she's also not terrible.
Right.
You know,
right.
She's not. You know, she's not Nakamura.
Yeah, and I mean, Dan, for all of his crappy opinions, did have a good point in terms of her, like, character game. Like, if the thing is, which I think the whole glow is, like, the concept of a glow-up, she should be saying things like, I'm glowing up, and that might, and be about,
just,
like...
Just does a shit ton of ecstasy right before walking to the ring.
Right. But, like, the, Jeff Hardy, the, I just think that, yeah, she just needs something... A mission statement. Like, what is she there to do besides be champion?
I feel like that's something that helped Sami Zayn a lot, is mm-hmm. like when he had his feud with Braun Strowman on Raw, I feel like that really, like his whole thing with Mick Foley, I feel like that really galvanized who Sami Zayn is just as a wrestling fan. Like, as a wrestling fan, it's like, oh, he's like an unstoppable, he's an underdog who's going to get beaten down, but he's never going to say no to a fight. So it's like you kind of funnel all of his promos and stuff for that. And I feel like he's doing a good job on SmackDown, mm-hmm. Like kind of filling in that role. And it's like you can kind of see what his arc is as a fighter and not a character.
Right.
This is real.
Damn right. Okay. AJ Styles versus Kevin Owens for the United States Championship belt. A few weeks ago, AJ Styles beat Kevin Owens in a dark match at Madison Square Garden, got the U.S. belt from him. Now, Owens, new champion.
Yeah.
And I had read, and I don't know if this is them leaking information, but apparently the you may want to plug your ears for this, Joey.
All right, plug my ears.
Apparently the finish wasn't supposed to be that, and that they changed it last minute. I don't know the reasoning behind that. There is like some heat about his shoulder being up, AJ Styles' shoulder being up. So maybe he didn't actually lose and they're just trying to maybe push that feud further.
Okay.
But something happened apparently where AJ was supposed to retain and ended up not.
Oh.
Did you like this match?
I mean, I just want to say, just on the record, AJ Styles is the most boring wrestler I've ever seen.
I mean, easily.
Yeah. You know, just like yawn, like just like AJ Styles, but with a Z because I'm sleeping, right? AJ Styles.
You're right.
ZZ. So
he doesn't adapt. He can't adapt to anybody's style.
You know, he's just a vanilla little person. Like, you know, he was working in a gas station in Japan before he came to WWE, and he was discovered by Vince McMahon. I mean, I'd rather watch 100 Jinder Mahal matches than even a second of AJ Styles.
Understood.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. This is fine. I mean, like Kevin Owens is—he's a good wrestler. You know, I can say that because he's a big dude. He's a big dude, so he can hit hard. You know, I think that for the combined sum of the parts, I don't think that the match delivered on the level that it could have.
I agree.
And you know, part of that's just AJ Styles just right. really sucking. You know, I mean, how easy is it to, you know, reverse the calf crusher into a pin? Like, you know, we saw it. We all saw it.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah.
I'll say this, and let me know if you disagree with me. I'm bothered by how often Kevin Owens rolls out of the ring.
You're bothered by
I'm
it?
I'm bothered by it.
Oh.
And I'm not in like a worked way. I just feel like in that match, I wanted them to be going at it like more. And then every time he would roll out of the ring, it would just suck the momentum out of what was happening. And I think he's overusing that sort of heel tactic. That's just my opinion.
I mean, I think that like what he might be running into, I feel like in WWE, the style of the promotion, the fighting style that is like wrestlers get kind of signature spots for matches.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you know, signature moves, signature things that they do. And I think that weirdly that's become a signature spot of Kevin Owens is mm-hmm. the roll out of the ring thing. I think that it's personally, I think he's a coward for doing it and I want to boo him. But, you know, I think that it's an effective heel garnering maneuver. But it's like I could see it being seen in the same light as like what Dean Ambrose used to be with like the Ricochet clothesline
mm-hmm.
where it's like, do you really need to do it 6 times a match?
Right.
Like,
and it doesn't even look great. Like, he obviously doesn't gain momentum
yeah.
from that move. Anyway.
But yeah. It's sort of an overused
yeah.
spot. Yeah.
But
like,
no,
I love it. You just could do it less.
Right. What's that look on your face for, Phil?
I'm just listening.
You're listening yeah. to
I mean, I love it. I love it when he does it. I don't okay. care how often he does it. So, I mean, I can formally disagree with you.
Perfect.
Wait, Kevin Owens and Dean Ambrose.
We're brothers to the end anyway.
Yeah, we encourage dissent here on the podcast.
How about it?
I mean,
Dan, who has an authoritarian rule.
Yeah, he just kind of shits on your thing and then rings the bell and then just,
okay, next one.
You know.
Oh, I thought Dan was here for a
second.
Yeah,
I know. So I can do that. I can lie about going to the gym and waste all my money on wrestling shirts.
Got him.
I have no idea who you're talking about.
All right, moving on. Cena versus Rusev. I was encouraged to talk
this
about
this match was garbage. Fuck it.
Garbage. I mean, well, I know
I
why.
I loved
you,
it. I mean, next to the Punjabi prison match and the tag match. This is actually, yeah, this is tied with the Punjabi prison match for my favorite match.
I know why Phil thinks that the match was garbage. Because he's a vet. He served our country proudly. And they used the flag as a prop in a fight. And let it touch the ground, and we're very disrespectful to Old Glory. Am I right?
Yes, I understand that other countries don't give a shit about their flags, and I can totally get that, and I'm behind it. And I'm not gonna, you know, go crazy for a flag or anything else, but it's pretty short-sighted of them, especially their big, their reach
right.
and their core like audience, especially when they do those tributes to the troops and stuff. It's a pretty dumb, short-sighted move to let the flag hit the ground.
Yeah, I mean, the troops comprise 1/3 of their yeah. audience, right? Of the T's.
Yeah.
The 3 T's.
Troops.
Toddlers.
Tiaras.
And tiaras.
Yeah, I will agree. I mean, personally, the match made me very proud to be an American. But I will agree that, like, yeah, you know, you don't want to see Old Glory touch
the ground. Let me say that I also support the right of anybody to do whatever they want to a flag.
Sure. I mean,
That's and, you know, I can be, you know, as punk rock and, you know, anti-authority as I can be, but I just like in that setting, they don't have to do stuff like that.
Right.
Also, for just a dumbass match anyway. And also, nobody hates Bulgaria.
No.
I mean, I do.
I know you do.
I just want to say, was anybody else out there, and you could like post in the Facebook group, personally, I was saluting my TV for the entire duration of this match. If you were doing that, do me a favor and post a picture of you saluting your TV in the in the Facebook group.
And if you weren't saluting your TV the whole time,
then like I don't know, who are you, Shinsuke Nakamura? Yeah.
Or I'll say this to you:
should have known better, dude.
Oh no, I know.
Yeah.
Yuck.
You should have known better, dude. But no, there was no build to this match. That was, I think, the biggest problem I had with it, aside from, you know, disrespecting our country. I'm doing Trump hands, disrespecting our country. There was no build up to it. They relied solely on xenophobia.
Yeah.
The xenophobic pop, just assuming that, you know, evil foreigner America guy.
I just want half the crowd to be able to point out Bulgaria on a map.
Impossible. They're as dumb, if not dumber.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, than the Facebook
group. That shows you how you can be swayed just by popular culture or whatever is like something that you like.
I mean, I feel like the WWE fans, they would point to Bulgaria on a map if they weren't so distracted by that beautiful Punjabi prison match.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's true. All right.
How do you take your eyes off of it?
Yeah.
All right, moving on. We already covered the Punjabi prison match. The only other match was Sami Zayn versus Mike Kanellis. This has been building slowly over the last couple of weeks with Sammy interrupting them, like, nebbishly.
Yeah.
And then they cracked a vase over his head.
Yeah.
And now we're finally seeing Mike Kanellis fight.
Second time.
And, the only thing, we're going to move on to Raw. We're not going to discuss this match. I just want to say that Maria Kanellis looks like every girl that hated me in high school, so I'm in love with her.
So really quick. I think it's so funny that the WWE has created a heel duo where, like, basically they're getting the audience to boo the concept of love.
Oh, yeah, they always do. Marriage is icky, kissing is gross.
Yeah, just like, how dare you be in a healthy relationship?
Yeah.
Boo!
My only note on this match was I loved that Mike and Maria came out and they were wearing jackets and they both had Maria on the back.
Yeah.
That was my favorite
One of my favorite spots, and I hope this becomes a signature that I could never get tired of, is Maria blowing Mike a kiss, Mike catching it, and then punching Sami Zayn.
Oh, yeah. That shit's great.
Oh, yeah. I love that match.
Oh, man.
Great. It was fun.
All right. Moving on to Raw. All right. So let's just blast through Raw because I think we have a bunch of idiots that want to have their opinions heard on this podcast, a.k.a. cash-ins. All right. So the opening segment, Roman, Joe, and Braun all want Brock. I'm loving this.
Yeah, it's great.
I mean, loving it.
I don't know how any of them are going to be able to beat Roman Reigns, but, like, you know, I think it's good.
It is his yard.
Again, yeah, Joe has a point of view. Best guy has a point of view that's also reasonable.
Right.
Makes you care about his character. No complaints about Samoa Joe are valid.
Yeah, it's almost like if you don't like Samoa Joe, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Yeah. I'm glad that carried over from NXT.
Well, yeah, and, like, what's cool about Joe is I feel like they've built his character, like, his character is that he's a maniac.
Right.
His character is that he does not care. Like, is that he will stare down Braun Strowman in the middle of the ring.
And, yeah.
Like, his character is that he'll, at the start of the match, grab Brock Lesnar and choke slam him through a table. That coward Brock Lesnar, by the way, jumped through that table on his own because he was scared of Samoa Joe.
Yeah, he really did.
Yeah, I feel like the character consistency and the character build of the legitimate fighter Samoa Joe is amazing.
Yeah. Agree. And I think Roman did great in that.
Roman does great in everything he does.
Agreed. But no, I'm really excited for that match. And I think next week on Raw we get a three-way match.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, that'll be a good match.
Great. Cool. Enzo versus Cass. Who the fuck cares about this?
Nope.
I'm over this.
Yeah, I mean, I love Big Cass. So
can you believe that these two real best friends are now not best friends anymore?
I mean, if you're as annoying as Enzo is, then, like, I don't blame Big Cass, you know?
I mean, do you care about... I agree with Booker T, all shucky ducky. He said, move on. But he was referring to, like, their friendship. You got to move on. Yeah. I agree. We should move on from this feud. I'm tired of it. Moving on. Women's match. Bayley and Sasha fight to face Alexa Bliss. It was a fun match, but...
I don't need the friend stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was a fun match. I think it again, like the last like 5 minutes or so were good. I'm glad they got a lot of time. I don't know how they're gonna build the SummerSlam match to like make it really like I'm gonna really wanna see it.
Right. I think there's a heel turn coming for Sasha.
I mean, something that bums me out about it a little bit is, like, they put on such amazing matches in NXT. Why would you waste a match between them on Raw?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It's just, like, that's a match that you do, like, you know, the main event of SummerSlam or, like, you know, on the WrestleMania card, not, like, on just a random Raw. It's, like, a feud building thing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. All right. Jason Jordan versus Curt Hawkins.
Don't you mean Jason Angle?
Jason Angle versus Curt Hawkins. So to that point, to the Jason Jordan being Curt Angle's actual son.
Right. Biological son.
Yeah.
Biological son.
We all admit is a real thing.
Is a real thing. Mm-hmm. There's got to be a part two to this, right? There's another shoe that has to drop to this. Because right now it's like, okay. Like if he was like a new wrestler debuting and no one had ever heard of Jason Jordan before,
yeah,
then this might be enough. Like, oh, it's Kurt Angle's son. Like, that's cool.
Right.
But there has to be. There must be.
Like a mutant son? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
And, like, nobody cared about him, and he came back, and he's just Jason Jordan with an eye patch?
I mean, Brock Lesnar's afraid of Kurt Angle. I mean, Brock Lesnar's also afraid of Curtis Axel, so maybe Curtis Axel is also Kurt Angle's son.
Maybe he's got the DNA streak.
Yeah. He's just afraid of people.
I don't know. I feel like it has to be a Jason Jordan turn on Kurt Angle.
Something.
Or Kurt Angle is coach dad and gives Jason Jordan like all the like opportunities in the world. Right. And it just gets like annoying
that way. Like a manufactured Roman Reigns push.
What I really want to see is an episode of WWE Ride Along that is just Kurt Angle and Jason Jordan with Kurt Angle just saying like, and you'll never guess this thing your uncle used to do.
Yeah,
just like filling in family stories.
Yeah, that's so fun.
That would be perfect.
I would love that.
But no, I did love Kurt Angle's acting when he's like looking at the, like being all proud dad watching him fight. So funny.
So great.
I mean, I'd be a proud dad too if I was Kurt Angle. Jason Jordan's a good wrestler.
Yeah, that's right. But then Jason's gimmick right now is like he's a grateful son. Like I just love, I love what's happening there. But there has to be a part two.
I think they can just be father and son forever, you know? Doesn't need to be a part two to that.
They would
be.
Or
it's real life.
They could be a tag team and be like Ken Griffey Sr. and Ken Griffey Jr. That'd be
as a Washingtonian, I would love that.
That would be great.
Yeah. Oh,
man. All right. Seth Rollins and Ambrose versus Miz and the Miztourage.
What about Elias Samson and Finn Balor?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I forgot about them. Let's talk about that instead, I guess.
Yeah.
How did you feel about that match since you went to...
It was great. I thought it was good. I really am enjoying Elias Samson.
Mm-hmm.
Finn Balor's another one, just like Nakamura, where it just feels weird that he's there. And if he's not going for a belt or he isn't the champion, it seems weird that he's just doing something else. But I feel like Elias Samson's really pulled off like being a good distraction for him.
Right.
Again, goes down there, plays a song about hating Washington, D.C., even throws Finn Balor in there. Balor's music comes up. He looks so annoyed when he comes out. It was great.
Yeah.
And then I don't care. I will back Bray Wyatt always. That was awesome. I love that the lights come up and he's already got him in the Sister Abigail. Great.
Yes.
Very cool.
Yes.
Something I will say. Shinsuke Nakamura, they call him the artist. My favorite part of Shinsuke Nakamura is his nickname, that he's the artist. Sometimes they say the rock star. That's also fun. Elias Samson's a real artist. Let's not just throw that word around everywhere. Yeah. We should save that nickname for people who deserve it, like Elias Samson.
Yeah. I mean, he's a troubadour.
Yeah.
He's a bard.
And a drifter.
And Finn Balor, he's James Dean Cool John Wayne Tough, right? That's something we all get behind.
So then the main event was this tag match between Seth Rollins and Miz and the Miztourage. How we got here is I guess it's a branch off of the Miz and Ambrose feud, part 99. Seth is sort of listless, has nobody to hang out with, no gimmick to speak of, wants to team back up with Ambrose, is really pushing the Shield thing. He did betray them. So I understand why Ambrose doesn't want to, you know, be involved.
Yeah.
But I will say this. I think Ambrose and Rollins together as like a tag team, the tag team moves they were doing, the sort of coordinated attacks
yeah.
really made Ambrose exciting.
Yeah. Well, it made both, the whole thing made both of them exciting, which I was actually really surprised at because yeah. I was kind of like, ugh, this is just like another like time filler. But that I like that the dynamic is like Dean Ambrose won't forget a betrayal. I like that there was that part right before the match where they were both talking and Seth's like, dude, come on, dude. We got to pick up a strategy. And he's like, nah, we don't have to do that. I know that you're the architect, blah, blah, blah. And then Seth goes, well, we've got three guys to worry about, so we got to go. And he's like, well, you have three guys to worry about. I have four to worry about.
That was such a good line.
Very good. Yeah. And then the end of the match and everything, like the way that like they were like, yeah, we won, but they weren't like mm-hmm. Dean wasn't like, yay, great. That yeah. like really kind of flipped the coin on those guys for me.
Yeah.
I don't need to see Ambrose and The Miz wrestle again. I'd like to see that kind of reluctant team.
Yes.
Where is this going to go kind yes. of deal happen.
And I'll say, and also too, to jump back to the Samoa Joe, Roman Reigns, when they were beating up Braun Strowman together,
yeah.
Dollar signs
yeah.
came up
yeah.
in my eyes
yeah.
because these two, Samoa Joe and Roman Reigns, as much as I would like to see a Shield reunion, I want to see them team up.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
It was or like when like Joe and Bray Wyatt teamed up
yeah.
a bit ago. Like it just had that same kind of like magnetism to
yes.
it. Yeah.
I feel like we're not talking about the real star of that tag team match,
mm-hmm.
which is The Miz.
Yeah.
The Miz, he's a Hollywood A-lister.
True.
He's making movies. He's going to parties
yeah.
with celebrities. I mean, where this used to be podcast, he's probably friends with Amy Poehler.
Yeah, like
Hollywood A-lister.
I mean, he probably yeah. is.
Like, so he's doing this night in and night out, and he's still finding the time to be a wrestler.
Yeah.
Guys.
And be a champion.
And be a, yeah. and be a champion.
Yeah.
Like,
and
you know,
family man, he's got his wife
like,
with him.
Yeah, like, I feel like, yeah, he's, like, got a good relationship.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like he's just... Man, what a good fighter.
I mean, yeah, I mean, they do have, it's a very supportive relationship that they
yeah.
have.
He's also got a TV show in that TV show.
Oh,
yeah.
I mean, what is he not doing?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like, I feel like a lot of people say that The Rock's the hardest working man in Hollywood.
Yeah.
I think it's
The Miz.
You know what?
I back you on that.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, but I mean, to go back to this match just briefly, and then we'll move on to these shitty fucking
yeah.
opinions. So, yeah, I think they're... I don't know if a Shield reunion is imminent or if they're just setting up maybe like a Seth versus Dean mm-hmm. situation where Dean might. I would like them to turn him like heel and not just like kind of tweener shithead. But yeah, so I don't know. I don't know if there's going to be a Shield reunion or if they're just teasing us and setting up this thing because it feels like Roman Reigns is. So totally preoccupied by other storylines
right.
that it just couldn't happen.
Yeah.
I would really love it if right before SummerSlam, Roman Reigns was just like, you know what? Let's forget this fatal four-way. I'm going to go hang out with my buddies in the Shield.
Yeah.
He just drops his career.
Shrugs it off.
Just like, I'm going to go drink beers with Ambrose and Rollins.
Ooh-ah.
Ooh-ah. My favorite catchphrase.
All right, Zig. Do we want to do Arlen?
Yeah, we might as well just get it out of the way. I'm going to give you a warning.
Yeah, go for it.
It's like 8 minutes long.
Oh, fucking Arlen.
Prepare not to have a boner for the next 24 hours.
Really.
Here comes Arlen.
If you guys are listening to this podcast while you make love, which is unlikely because you're not.
Yeah.
I want to say
after
this.
After we're done with this.
At UCB the other day, I saw a guy in line for ASCAT or for the show after ASCAT dressed like a fucking Jedi. Like a Koi Gun Jin, dressed like a Jedi.
Ah, that guy sounds like he's a member of the Mark World Order or whatever my faction's called.
And he had a girlfriend with him. So, Facebook group, what's your excuse? This guy is dressed like a fucking Jedi, and he's getting some. What are you doing? What are you even doing? All right, before you play this, let me play Arlen's music. Arlen, Marmo, the guy with the coldest takes. All right.
Oh, that's my favorite song.
What's up, people? Guess who's back? Yep, Arlen. Open up a can of the One Percenters whoop ass for
piss.
You. Give me a second. Ah, oh yeah, that's good. Coming to you
this
here while I'm doing
himself.
My laundry. I want to address a few things. Some obvious, some maybe less so. First of all, quick proclamation. That person who supposedly hosted what was, I guess, the Comedians of Wrestling podcast. I will not be referring to him by name anymore. I guess there were two people there. The other guy, I don't even know who that guy is. I don't care. So just assume everything I say is the main guy, whom you all know well. I will no longer be using his name. As an aside, did you notice, does he have a very wet mouth? A lot of, like, lip smacking. I just like the, I don't know, two guys with the wettest mouths I've ever heard. I don't know what was going on there. But I'm not sure. I mean, as a guy from Philadelphia, I expect not much. You know what I mean? now, a couple things came up that I just want to touch on here. I mean, I think personally what discounts basically everything this guy has to say is that he thinks the revival is awesome. Listen, the revival, it doesn't even come out. They don't even hit my radar because they're such zeros, such a bunch of, other than the fact that we share the same style, unfortunately, not by
underwear
choice.
Underwear and leather jackets.
I guess by God. these guys are terrible. There's nothing to say. I don't even want to talk. I just, to me, it indicates
I'm done. Arlen, stop. Stay in your lane, dude. Stay in your lane. You tried to make a Photoshop of me on Samoa Joe. It looked like crap. Look, stick to what you know, all right? Hentai, tentacle porn, and fucking Peppy, the frog. Stick to what you know. Don't come into our realm of comedy trying to talk shit. You're never going to be on my level, bro. Dude.
So, Arlen.
Sick of that guy.
Arlen, he's definitely not a member of the Nation of Marka Nation. But if he takes a picture of himself saluting his TV, maybe I'd be willing to let him in.
I don't think he could. He wouldn't be able to lift his hand to his forehead. This guy's arms are like noodles.
It would be a shitty salute. He also has a soft shake hand because we've met face to face before.
Friend. Oh!
Very soft palms. You want to talk about wet mouths, wet palms because he's always nervous. Rubbing them on his pants. His pants are soaked with sweat because he's rubbing his sweaty palms on there. Nervous all the time, looking around. He had to cut his cash in while he's washing his waifu pillow. And he's not going to mention Alex Nasty-ass Newman by name. I mean...
Yeah. Well, you know what? Good to preemptively keep my name out of your mouth, Arlen. I would hate to have to ask you to do that because that means we've entered a realm of pain and you will not survive in this realm of pain.
So I'm going to stop you. Don't badmouth waifu pillows. I got a waifu pillow, a Randy Orton, that I've been sleeping with for about 6 months. Like, you know, just like sleep, it comes from out of nowhere.
Right. So, yeah, okay. Well...
It's like I hit my vape from Randy Orton's vape shop. Yeah, I go right to bed, hugging that Viper, baby.
Hell yeah.
Well, fine. You're the one who gets a pass.
Yeah, so I hear voices in my head. Yeah. They tell me Randy Orton's great.
So you're saying you go home, you take a hit of your vape pen, you lay your head down on your waifu Randy Orton pillow, and as you close your eyes,
I hear voices in my head. I mean,
it's like you just, do you watch me at night?
Sometimes I do. Yeah. All right. I mean, stop. Okay, everyone else can cash in. Arlen, stop cashing in. You're done. You're cut off. Who else?
See, I think this was actually in support of you. Let me see what we got here.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Reasonable people here.
Calling on an MP3 player?
All right. Listen up, slap nuts. This is Charlie the Dryer Lent cashing in on behalf of the Newman World Order. Listen. All you guys want to follow Armin Marmalade instead of the man, Alex Newman. Now, look, everybody knows Samoa Joe is one of the best wrestlers out there. You guys' opinions are trash.
Correct.
One of the best fighters.
If you don't think the Newman World Order has done good for the Comedians of Wrestling podcast,
how bad?
Just listen to all the cash-in. Count them. This is what the Comedians of Wrestling is all about. There's only one thing that me and Newman disagree on. And I'm going to say it on the count of three. One, two, three. Fuck the revival.
Ooh.
Young Bucks, Mark.
Yeah. Must be, right? That's their
Cody
thing.
Cody Rhodes
wait,
also?
Wait, the Young who?
The Young Bucks.
Young. I've never heard of them.
Oh,
Yeah.
Nick Jackson, other Jackson.
Jack Jackson. Are they those NJPW jobbers?
Yeah.
That would be them. Those are the guys.
Ring of Honor jobbers.
Ring of Honor. Oh, the Ring of Honor. What are they, like 3 feet tall?
Nick and Matt, yeah.
They're not Jinder Mahal.
Very good points.
Yes. Especially on me being the superior podcast host.
Correct. I think that young man gets a how about it.
A how about it.
How about it.
Once again, I will let you in the nation of Marconation if you salute your TV.
Before you play this next one, Zig, I want to go back to the first cash-in that we had in the very beginning. I'm going to go out on a limb because I've been thinking about this the whole show. I think that was someone, and I don't want to insult this guy, or maybe I do, but it sounded like someone putting a voice on.
I was thinking that too. It sounded like someone doing a voice.
Because he
put a sock over his phone.
Yeah. It sounded like someone doing a voice. So if you're out there listening, come clean, man. Call in, cash in again with your true identity. Or if that was your true identity, you sound like someone making up a voice. What do we got?
Okay. Alex Newman. Don't think that I don't see what you're doing here. See,
incredible
now that
quality.
Dan's away, you and Del Costello, you're going to try and hijack the show. Mm. You're going to sit in the host chair and throw your weight around like your opinion means something.
Because it does.
You say that you have all these hot takes, but really, at the end of the day, what are you bringing to the table? That NXT is worth watching and that Samoa Joe is main event talent?
Hard disagree
on
NXT.
You're breaking some new fucking ground there. But you know what? I'll give you one thing. See, Alex, you appreciate good wrestling, which is a whole hell of a lot more than I could say for the rest of the jabroni marks on this fucking Facebook group.
Yeah, how about
see,
it?
These people, they make me sick.
Make a name for yourself,
these
son.
These people will willfully ignore the one show from the one company that they follow that produces any quality in-ring product, and then they have the gall to call themselves wrestling fans.
How about it? Preach.
These people are nothing more than WWE shills, and no amount of Bullet Club merchandise is going to change that fact.
Deep WWE.
And Newman, as far as you and Del Costello are concerned, Hall and Nash, see, they didn't draw big money as the outsiders, but if this is going to be the Newman World Order, you can consider me your Hollywood. Because my name is Jack Mills, and I've got a mic that looks like a Pepsi can, a voice that sounds like $1 million, and takes hotter than Air Infinity. And as far as the COW Championship is concerned, Battleground may not have gone my way, but Austin Huff, I want you to listen up, and I want you to listen very closely to what I'm about to say to you. See, I am a man of my word. So when I tell you that at SummerSlam, that championship is coming home, you can take it to the bank. Because at SummerSlam, there won't be any fatal four-way bullshit. It's going to be you and me. And you can bet your ass that at the end of the night, I will be the first ever two-time COW World Heavyweight Champion. And you, you're just going to be the guy that I beat to make history. Wow. How about it?
Yeah!
I will ignore the mild disrespect and say that is how you cash in.
That was a nice promo, right?
Wait, what was that guy's name?
Jack.
Jack Mills.
Jack Mills, you've made a powerful enemy today. You can't just badmouth the nation of Marculation like that and like expect to get away with it. I mean, I don't know where you live, but I'm going to find out. Or like if you're getting your hair cut, I'll make sure and super kick you, throw you through a barber shop window or something. You're on notice. I don't know. Man. Can't badmouth marks like that. Also, NXT is bad.
Man, how about it?
How about it?
You know what? Yeah, I like that.
Like, if they're in developmental, why aren't they on the main roster? Braun Strowman is a better wrestler than everybody in NXT combined.
I want to say, as the guy that has to plow through all the different cash-ins,
yeah.
People, you need to try to recreate Jack Mills.
Yes,
he had a good character, he had a strong voice, he had perfect quality.
Point of view.
And he agreed with me.
Yeah.
10 out of 10. All right. We got Nick Tulo.
Is this the last one?
We got one more after this. Okay.
Put on your sleeping caps.
Woo-hoo-hoo! 6:30 in the morning, baby. It is 6:30 in the morning on Thursday, and I am fired up. I am fired up. This is now broken Nick Tulo, terrible Tulo, coming to you. And I am fired up, baby, because this jabroni, this nonsensical, negative Nancy Newman,
is going to call out.
This is the same
the
thing
you
said last week.
Comedians
Cut him off. Cut him off. 6:30 in the morning. Get your shit together, dude.
Why is he calling from an underpass?
Get your shit together, dude. Come up with another take next.
Right. I do appreciate the effort of calling in. Thank you for answering the call of cash-ins, but also answering the call of garbage-ass shit.
Disagree. Nick Tula, I think you made some good points. If you want to join the Nation of Markulation, the door is wide open. I'm looking for a sergeant-at-arms right now.
All right, last cash-in.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Josh Huff, and I am the advocate for my client, Austin Huff, a.k.a. your new reigning, defending, undisputed Comedians of Wrestling champion. And I am here on behalf of my client to present a challenge to all you jabronis. Especially you, Newman. Come one, come all. We will take you down and you will all fall. My client's holding on to this title for a very, very, very long time. And the only person to take it from him will be yours truly. So bring it on. And also to you, Mr. Newman. I've got a problem and I've got a vendetta with you, brother. You are trash talking my peeps. And if you keep running your mouth about my peeps, I will burn you quicker than a CD from 2006. You hear me, brother?
Not very fast.
And that's all I've got to say. Bring it on, baby. Bring it on.
To quote Conor McGregor, you'll do nothing. Nothing. Before we go, I just want to get something out of the way right now. The Comedians of Wrestling champion is yours truly. What you are fighting for is the Facebook championship, okay? The mid-card belt. I am the champion of this podcast. I will always be the champion of this podcast. Check the books. Listen to past episodes. Read descriptions. I am described as the cow champion. Me. Nasty Newman. Not Nick Tulo. Not Arlen Marmalade. Not any of you jabronis. Me.
If anybody in the Comedians of Wrestling Facebook group wants to make Real Lady Armin Marmalade memes, go ahead and go for it.
Oh, Creole Lady Arlen Marmalade.
Coming from Zig.
Oh, I love it. Okay, I think that's about it. Dan's not going to be back next week, and I'll tell you why. He's in Italy right now, and if he wants to get back to America, he's going to have to deal with the phone call I put into the Department of Homeland Security to detain him at the airport.
That's right.
How are you going to take back your show, Dan, when you can't even get back into your country of origin, brother? You're stuck.
That's a good question. How would you do that?
You can't. That's the answer to that question. You're stuck in Europe because of me, Dan.
Right.
So when some 6-foot everything TSA agent is giving you an anal root canal and you're wondering, why is this happening? Why can't I just get back to my show? It's because of me.
Going
to
take the teeth out of your butt.
Gonna take the teeth out of your butt. Put him in Arlen's face and then smack him out of his face. Keep watching wrestling. Kisses.
Kisses.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.